One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Looking for your next Subaru? At Byers Airport Subaru, we give you options from start to finish. Browse and shop entirely online from the comfort of your home at columbussubaru.com or stop by and visit one of our friendly brand specialists just by the airport.
During the Subaru A Lot to Love event, buy a new 2025 Subaru Outback for 2.9% for up to 72 months.
Whether you prefer to click or come in, we've got you covered. Your journey starts at Byers Airport Subaru. Come see why it's better to buy at Byers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 3/31/25.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show. We are inching ever closer to the regular season of action. But before we get there, we're going to continue to break down every team's farm system. We have to pony up a little bit this last week because we have less than a week till at least the MLB side starts, which is very exciting. I know obviously MLB's technically already started with the Seoul Series, but the official start of the MLB season with all teams is less than a week away. And we still have two divisions to cover, so we might be doing two of these a day at this point. But today, we are breaking down the Cleveland Guardians farm system. This system is a lot of fun. Cleveland always has a ton of depth, which even makes it even more challenging because there are so many players to rank and to talk about, and it's just very hard to get them all. But this is a talented system. I won't say Cleveland is rebuilding right now because they're not. I don't know what state I'd say that Cleveland is in at the moment because they can compete, but also they've got a stock full of young talent that's ready to come up at any point. And when that happens, this team could jump back in to being the dominant powerhouse of the AL Central. As I mentioned, it's a quite a deep farm system. You can find the link to the report in this description. There are probably 40 plus names that I wrote up, and obviously I don't have time to talk about them all, but we're going to break down all the relevant names and all the ones that you need to know as we begin today's action. So Cleveland Guardians, obviously we are beginning with none other than Chase DeLauder, who had one of the best springs of really any prospect in spring training. DeLauder put up some really big numbers, but ultimately, for DeLauder, he did not end up making the team. And we can point to various reasons why, but at the end of the day, the most likely case with Chase DeLauder is that he spends a month or two down and then he comes up. I think that's probably what happens here. It won't be long until we see Chase DeLauder in the majors. He absolutely wrecks. He does a lot of things well. I think that this is a potential plus contact, plus power, and maybe plus speed profile as well. And he does it while he's standing at 6'4". Really big frame, but very athletic. The swing is compact. It's a short follow through, but ultimately, I don't care. I know he gets a lot of flack for the swing, but it works. He still hits the ball incredibly hard. He still makes a lot of contact. So Chase DeLauder's swing can play. Everything you need to see under the hood certainly suggests that. He had an 89-mile-an-hour average exit velocity last year. His 90th percentile EV was firmly in the plus range. He lifts the ball with ease. The contact rates were very good, 88% in zone and 86% overall. That overall contact is very good, and he does not chase often at all. He chased just 20% of pitches out of the zone in 2023. He's a good base runner, and I know he hasn't stolen a ton, but I do think there's a path where he can steal 10-plus bases. And ultimately, that's going to play when you're talking about 20, 25 home run juice, the potential for like a 280 average and really good OBP skills. Chase DeLauder is a game player, and I am very excited to see what DeLauder does this year, especially when he debuts in the majors, which I think will probably be sooner than later. As we move to our number two prospect in the Guardian system, it's Kyle Manzardo, who is also not making the team, unfortunately. He's another one that, I think him and DeLauder breaking camp would have been a ton of fun for Cleveland fans, but that'll be on hold for just a moment. And, in all honesty, I could see these guys actually coming up and debuting together. That would be even more exciting. You want to talk about a nice sellout? Let's talk about a day in May where they have a home game, a big weekend series coming up, and they decide to call up Chase DeLauder and Kyle Manzardo on the same day. I'd like to see that a lot. Manzardo came over in the Aaron Civale trade. He was originally in the Rays system. Good feel for contact. He leaves the barrel in the zone a long time. You were looking at last year having an 80% overall contact rate and a zone contact rate of 90%. So very, very good contact there. The contact has always been a major strength. I think some had questions after the 2022 season of, what kind of power would Manzardo get to? Ultimately, the exit velocities were fine, but there wasn't a huge home run output. But that kind of changed in 2023. The ninth percentile exit velocity jumped over 2 miles an hour up to 104.5, which is above MLB average. And his average exit velocity jumped to 90 miles an hour, which is also another number that is well above MLB average. You're not going to get any speed out of this profile, but Manzardo is a plus field to hit with above average power. I think that eventually he could grow into 25 homers. I don't think that's unrealistic to think. I think 20 home runs is definitely in the realm of possibility pretty soon. And then when you also look at him and you see the contact skills, you're like, all right, and the OBP skills, this guy can play. I think you should be very excited about what Kyle Manzardo brings to the table. And it's just a matter of time before we see him taking over at first base for the Guardians. And I know some people are like, well, Davison De Los Santos is going to be there, but De Los Santos got cut. He's going to be put through waivers and potentially back in the Arizona system. So, in all honesty, it's kind of what I expected. That De Los Santos doesn't make the roster, Manzardo will make it pretty soon. Let's talk a couple of middle infielders here who I both like. Juan Brito, ultimately a really underrated find by the Rockies. On the international market, he showed a very strong field hit in the DSL that summer after signing. Missed 2020 due to the pandemic, ultimately. And he's continued to progress at a very fast rate. Reached AAA in 2023. Brito shows a really good feel for contact from both sides of the plate. Had an 80% overall contact rate and an 88% zone contact, which are rather impressive. He chased at just a 23% rate, very, very low. The power is more to the pull side, but he did grow into more. I'm talking about a frame that did grow. He was listed much shorter. I think now he's listed 5'11", 202, but I think this guy's 6'1 now. I wouldn't be shocked if he was. He's continued to grow and fill out. But the power came to the pull side, as I mentioned, 14 home runs last year. Doubles machine. He had 31 doubles. The ninth percentile exit velocity was close to average for his age. But ultimately, the frame does not suggest that, there's too much more. I think he's probably an average power hitter, Maybe he gets to 18 homers. And I think he certainly has a chance to debut by midseason 2024. He's versatile, but not great in the field. So I think he ends up playing second base. But the flexibility does allow him to probably move a little quicker. But hit tool first guy that I really like, as I do this guy, Brayan Rocchio, who's a contact and glove first shortstop. You know, while he didn't have the most impressive body, I think he's bigger than the 5'10", 170 suggests. Another switch hitter, good contact skills. He had an 87% zone contact rate and an 80% overall contact rate. Rocchio gets kind of aggressive at times, but the chase rate did land around 29%. So it's a little higher than Brito, but it's close to league average too, which is good. The power is a bit more of a question mark, as we saw the power, or the home run output, at least fall from 18 to 7 in 2023. But he did have 33 doubles and 6 triples. You know, the exit velocities did improve, at least on the higher end. Rocchio's 9th percentile jumped to 101.7, which was pretty close to Brito range. And the average EV also took a step forward, but it was still 86.7 miles an hour. So definitely below average there. The hit tool and speed are very good. I think you're looking at plus for both. Has a good glove at shortstop. Yeah, maybe he advances to be more of a fantasy relevant guy, but right now I think that Brayan Rocchio, is more of a glove first type that has a really good bat. Daniel Espino is going to take a hit. Unfortunately, he was the 5th ranked guy at the system at the time of writing, but he's going to take a pretty nice fall for me. I'm honestly afraid that this is like the Brent Honeywell situation where he can just never get healthy enough to pitch. We saw him, you know, have another injury, and he is out for a very long time with a shoulder issue again, that capsule repair. He had surgery on that in 2023, and that's why he missed that entire season. And then it's the same injury again with that shoulder. It's not good at all. Espino, when he's on the mound, is very talented, but ultimately, I'm very, very concerned about Daniel Espino ever pitching in the major leagues. And if he does, what kind of like level are we going to see him pitch at? And I think those questions probably need to be answered. Well, let's keep moving forward because there are some talented prospects that will be making it stateside this year. And the first one of those is Welbin Francisca, who had a really good DSL. He had a pretty sizable bonus of $1.375 million last January. He's got a pretty advanced body for his age as well, and considering he's a little shorter and that he won't turn 18 until this May, so he will actually begin the DSL season now that started sooner as a 17-year-old still. And he hit the ground running, one of the better hitters in the DSL, 316, 419, 500, with 3 homers, 7 doubles, and 6 triples in 40 games last year. Showed good plate discipline. Stole bases, had 11 steals last year. Switch hitter, good abilities from both sides, 915 OPS from the left and 947 from the right. Low strikeout rates from both. Really good swing. I love the left-handed swing the best, to be honest. So that's really where it is for me. But he controls the barrel well through the zone. He has good bat speed. Hits the ball with authority. I think that Francisca could end up being like a potential 2020 type that hits with decent average. But we will know a lot more about Welbin Francisca pretty soon, as we'll likely see him in the complex. I mentioned he's starting the DSL. We'll start at the complex, and that'll be starting in May this year, so we'll get some sooner looks at those DSL guys last year like Welbin. We already got a look at this guy, but Ralphie Velasquez, Cleveland's first-round pick last year, very smooth swing with a ton of power from the left side, 6'3", 215, very physical, but he hits the ball really well. And he was quite good in his pro debut. Had 348, 393, 739 slash with 2 home runs, 3 doubles. And it was just 6 games. But the fact that he hit 2 home runs and 3 doubles should tell you a lot. So there's a lot to like here with Velasquez, even pre-pro debut. It's pretty effortless power. The exit velocities have been really good. He makes high-end contact. Velasquez also is going to get on base at a pretty high clip. He has good plate recognition. And even if he's not a catcher long-term, I think that this bat's going to play wherever he lands. I think there's 25 to 30 home run potential here with also really good OBP. He may hit 270, but he could be a 370 OBP if so. So Ralphie Velasquez is one to watch out for this year, as is this guy, a prep lefty, Alex Clemmie. Clemmie is one that they absolutely got a steal on, in my opinion, at 58 overall. And it came with a bonus of $2.3 million, which was well above average. You like to see that. He's a big 6'6" lefty. He was 17 at the time of the draft. There's plenty of projection in the frame, but the velocity's already good. It's mid-90s, up to 98, with good life. You look at the curveball, it's a really solid pitch as well. Sits in around 80, has a ton of bat missing ability. It's a two-plane break, so it has sweep and also good horizontal drop. But then I think that the changeup is one that really could be solid, especially considering he's a lefty throwing it to right-handed batters. You know, Cleveland has done a great job of developing arms, and I wouldn't be shocked if Alex Clemmie is the next arm that they develop, and we look back and say, wow, how is this guy not a first-rounder? So Alex Clemmie going to the Cleveland Guardians is very, very good in my opinion, and I'm very excited to see Clemmie pitch this year in pro ball. And as we continue moving forward in the Guardian system, somebody that once was arguably the top prospect here, George Valera, has sadly taken a step back. It seems like a distant memory when he signed for over $1 million in 2017, and he's been on the 40-man roster for 2 years now. Obviously, injuries have been a big issue with Valera. He has broken his hamate twice, as well as having some hamstring issues. This led to Valera collecting just 338 plate appearances in 2023, and he never was consistent enough to get going because the health did not keep him on the field long enough together at one time. He does get really explosive through the zone. The exit velocities were really good, 91 mile an hour average EV, 105 ninth percentile, and I think the power is above average or better. He did hit the ball on the ground too much in 2023, but he still turned in a 12% barrel rate, so that's rather impressive. From a contact standpoint, Valera ultimately chased just 21% of pitches out of the zone, which is good, so he's going to get on base at a high clip, but the contact rates are the concern, 68% overall and 76% in zone, which is not great at all. Very low batting average type, but he has the potential to get on base. And he does have power. So I am not willing to rule out George Valera completely, but I do think it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out, because there's definitely been some guys that have passed Valera at this point. And you look at it and we think, well, how does this shape up for him? I think that this year will be very telling for George Valera. I think he's going to have to step up and do something. If not, you know, it could be a case where he just completely falls out of favor, which is kind of my fear here. I don't know if he's an invest now or not. I'm kind of in a boat where I don't really know whether I want to take a shot on him. But I will say the cost is probably lower than it's ever been, which in that case, maybe the opportunity, if you have liked Valera in the past, okay, go take a shot on him and see where it goes. So I would at least see, but I'm not thinking that George Valera is going to be somebody that I actually want to go out and take a shot on in a dynasty league. The stock has just fallen a little bit too much. But this guy's stock, however, might be the opposite, and that's Jason Churio. That's Jackson's younger brother. He got a $1.2 million bonus in 2022. Churio shows a very impressive feel to hit. He's consistently put up big batting averages. Yeah, for his career so far, in two seasons, he's been the DSL, the complex, and single A. He has a career 304, 446, 411 slash line. Two home runs, though, 26 extra base hits in 88 games. The biggest knock on Churio right now is there has not been game power, but there is physical projection. Churio is 6'1", he's 162. So you look at this profile and you say, okay, like there is a lot of room for Churio to add to this profile. If he does, this could be a special player because he's shown good speed. He knows how to take a walk. The OBP skills have been really good. He's 34 of 40 on the base pass, so very successful stealing bases. Good center fielder with a big arm. The only thing that's lacking is the power. But he is just 18 years old. He is 6'1", 162 list. I think there is potential for Churio to really take that step forward. As is this guy who I think already has and showed us in the spring, and that's Angel Martinez. He's your typical Cleveland middle infielder, a switch hitter, shockingly, like everybody, every other middle infielder in the system. He has good contact skills, ran a contact rate of 80% overall last year, but he is rather aggressive, so he's not going to get on base at a very high clip as compared to someone like a Juan Brito or even a Brayan Rocchio. But he did hit 14 home runs and have 42 extra base hits last year, even though it was across 591 plate appearances. And the majority of his bats last year came as a left-handed batter against right-handed pitching, but the results actually weren't good. He had 233, 309, 343 slash. The contact rate was not as good as it was against left-handed pitching as a right-handed batter. Against left-handed batters, he had a 303, 355, 535 slash line, and that was over 157 plate appearances. So he absolutely mashed left-handed pitching, which is interesting. I'm curious how this all shakes out with Martinez, but he's versatile. He's played short. He's played second. He's played third. The profile is not overly attractive for fantasy, but it is actually pretty good. I think that he's improved his stock a little bit and probably would be higher for me now. Yonkinzie Noel is interesting because I really liked him back in the day. Former top 100 guy for me, then I thought it looked pretty silly. But then he bounced back and had a really solid year last year. You know, the results last year, you know, weren't great, but he does have big power. The contact rates are actually better than you might think, given his slash line. The power is the selling card here. I mean, he's 59 homers over the last two seasons. It's backed by very strong exit velocities. He had 106 mile-an-hour ninth percentile EV last year. Shows high end power skills, but there's an 87 mile an hour average EV because he also had some weekly hit balls. The interesting thing is I think the profile actually somewhat resembles Christian Encarnacion Strand, who does hit the ball a little harder, but pretty similar plate skills as far as chase and contact. You know, Christian Encarnacion Strand does have a little bit better end zone contact than Yonkinzie Noel, but I do think that Noel may make the majors this year. I think he has a chance to showcase that he does have really good power and maybe enough plate skills to get by and be an everyday regular at the major league level. Should be really fun to watch. I'm interested to see how this plays out for him, but I am excited to see what Yonkinzie Noel brings to the table. Jonathan Rodriguez is pretty underrated. He doesn't really get the respect he deserves. One of the older players on this list, but he only turned 24 last November. So he's 23 all last year. He was a third rounder back in 2017, and he's moved through the system slowly, but he really took a step up last year and really even in 2022. You know, between 2022 and 2023, he had 55 home runs and he had a 286, 364, 512 slash. The power is really good. 92 mile an hour average exit velocity is high end. The 108 mile an hour ninth percentile is near elite. It's very good. I mean, that's firmly like a 65 grade, if not better, maybe close to 70 power. But the contact skills, 68% overall and 77% in zone is not great. I am curious to see if Rodriguez can get an opportunity and if he runs with that opportunity, because there is opportunity in the Cleveland outfield. I know DeLauder is going to take a spot soon, but could Rodriguez step in and be somebody that you really want on your teams? Maybe so. This next guy also may be somebody you want to get back in on soon. That's Khalil Watson, who was a top prospect at one point. He slipped in the 2021 draft to 16th overall, where Miami snagged him. He had other issues off the field, which ended up landing for him to be traded to Cleveland last year as part of the Josh Bell deal. You know, collectively for the year between Miami and Cleveland, he did hit 14 homers and he stole 25 bases. But the slash line of 217, 329, 406 is not all that great. I do think there was some bad luck going against him here. He ran a really low BABIP. He's a patient hitter. He can take a walk. You know, honestly, like, this profile has upside with Watson. he has the power and speed, and he can get on base. So I think this is a profile that is worth buying in on the low if he can figure out the character stuff and the off-the-field stuff, which hopefully he does. We're talking about a young kid, has shown some immaturity, but hopefully he can get back to where you want to see him. If he does, then I think that you don't want to miss the boat by not getting in on Khalil Watson sooner or later, because the cost right now, well, it's lower than it's ever been. We would be quite remiss if we did not talk about Joey Cantillo, who is probably a prospect that I like more than most. And there are severe bullpen risks, I understand here, but the stuff is really fun with Joey Cantillo. The arsenal is really good. He was 16th rounder back in 2017. He was traded to Cleveland from San Diego as part of the Mike Clevenger deal. And I think that his stock was trending upward in the Padres org, but then he really began to take off in Cleveland. Injuries have limited him, but in 2023, he did throw 119 innings, which was his career high. He spent most of the season in AAA. He posted a 4.07 ERA with 146 strikeouts. Strikeouts and stuff aren't an issue. Fastball is really good, set 94 up to 98. A lot of IVB, low VAA, so it's a funky fastball. It's hard for hitters to pick up on, and when he does allow contact, it's weak contact. There's three secondaries. The changeup is exceptional. It actually has a lot of ride to it for a changeup, but the fade's really good on it. It's a very low spin rate. It's very positive traits. It had a 50% whiff rate against it last year, which is awesome. Curveball had 66 inches of drop with some sweep, which is huge. And that's up to, I want to make sure I mentioned, up to 66 inches of drop. That's not average there. The slider also gets some sweep, and he misses bats. It's an elite extension, 7'3" extension from Joey Cantillo. So you like to see that. And I don't know, I'm scared he ends up in the bullpen, but there is potential here if he can make strides with the strike throwing for Cantillo to be a really interesting arm. And I kind of want to take a shot and see where it goes, because there is a lot of potential here in the profile and the arsenal of Joey Cantillo. Another one to talk about here that I like, who is a reliever, is Andrew Walters. They drafted out of Miami. This arsenal is really, really good. Looking at a fastball, it's 95. It's a high-spinning pitch. A lot of IVB and a lot of run. Slider also misses a ton of bats. The curve has nice depth. The changeup average 17 inches of fade. Exclusively in a reliever, but 1.41 ERA and 102 college innings in the ACC with 170 strikeouts. This is a very good arm to invest in. This is this next guy. Jackson Humphreys, a lefty who I think probably takes a step forward this year. He made 15 starts in his first pro season in 2023. Had just a 5.49 ERA in 57 innings with 72 strikeouts and 29 walks. Not great, but good athleticism on the mound. Strong left-handed frame. It's a very fast arm. He spins the ball well. I look at the fastball. It plays up, even though it plays between 91 and 94, depending on the start. Curveball, kind of a hammer of a pitch, 12-6 shape. Slider has potential to be a plus pitch, low to mid-80s with a lot of sweep. Humphreys is this lefty that I want to invest in. Even though the results were not great last year, I think Humphreys does take this step forward. Another lefty who doesn't really get the love that he deserves is Will Dion, who is kind of a clone of Clayton Kershaw, if you've ever watched him pitch. The mechanics mimic Kershaw extremely well. And when you look at Dion, he ultimately has had really good results. 257 innings over the last 2 years and an ERA of 2.14 with 307 strikeouts and 74 walks. The knock here is the fastball. It averages 90 miles an hour. It doesn't miss a lot of bats, but the curve is really good. You talk about Clayton Kershaw's curve. This curve misses a lot of bats with a lot of downward action. Changeup sits near 80 miles an hour with a lot of fade. He's a very pitchability type lefty that throws a lot of strikes, but we've seen this type succeed in Cleveland before. So I'm very interested to kind of see where this goes, because maybe he does work out and maybe he does take off. As is this next guy, Parker Messick, a 2022 second-round left-handed arm out of Florida State. He had a solid debut in 2023. 121 2/3, 3.77 ERA, 136 strikeouts to just 39 walks. Fastball sits low 90s, but it is a high IVB pitch with some running action. Slider sits in the low 80s with sweep. Those mid-80s change up with a lot of fade. He throws enough strikes, I think, to remain a back-end starter, but I do want to see Messick as he moves up levels because it's really easy to pitch. You know, you're an ACC arm that was good in ACC arm. So can he handle pitching against better competition as he moves up? We'll see. Drafty last year, CJ Cephas out of Miami as well. So they had two University of Miami guys. Cephas' profile is pretty interesting, actually, when you look at it, because he has pop, and the exit velocities are fine. He hits the ball at ideal angles. He generates, you know, a lot of barrels because of it, but he makes a lot of contact. You know, last year, ran an 89% zone contact rate in college, and that carried over to professional ball, too. Low chase rate, 24% last year. He's going to get on base. I think that Cephas, if he does tap into a little more power, which he had 13 last year in Miami in his, you know, smaller, shorter season, college season, I think there's potential to take off. Kind of versatile first base outfield type, lefty with pop and good feel to hit. Okay, like maybe Cleveland can tap into something here with CJ Cephas. So somebody that I kind of want to invest in sooner than later. A couple of international guys to talk about. Jose Perella. He's kind of not the mold that Cleveland typically signs. He's a 17-year-old, physically advanced, 6'3", 185. Had 17 extra base hits last year in the DSL in 41 games. Six home runs with a 270, 395, 480 slash. There were some strikeout issues, but he also walked a 14% clip. Perella will be 18 to begin the 2024 season, but a fun prospect to really keep an eye on. As is Rafael Ramirez, he's a strong hit tool profile. He was actually born in the United States to former professional Rafael Ramirez, but he spent most of his childhood in the Dominican Republic. He was 16 years old at the time of signing. He was 17 years old at the complex level last year, and he'll be 18 this year. Probably starts the year in single A. It's a very hit tool first profile, very good contact, knows the strike zone well. I'm excited about Rafael Ramirez and his potential. As is another guy who I'm guilty of not being as in on, but shout out to Matty Batpack in the Discord. He's very sharp prospect guy. Follow him on Twitter too. He talked about Luis Marejo, and I was not really as in on this profile as I should have. You know, Marejo was another one that last year had a really good year in the DSL. Hit 321 with a 441 OBP, 926 OPS with four homers and a stolen base. Marejo has a good frame, 6'2", 185 infielder. I think Marejo is one that maybe catches more eyes this year and could take that step forward. So shout out to Matt for that call, as I like Marejo's profile a lot more as I've dug in. Maybe I was severely underrating him, and maybe I need to fix that mistake, and I will, actually. I think he's going to be in my top 500 this time around. So Luis Marejo is somebody to watch out for. Those international guys, I like all three of those guys a lot. Marejo, Rafael Ramirez, and Jose Perella. So watch out for them. I think that all those guys could take a step forward. A couple of, I guess, blasts from the past top prospects. Aaron Bracho, he's still only 22 years old, or at least he was at the time of writing this article. Smaller guy. I had a prospect crush on him back in 2019. And then this year, he actually had a bounce back. He was decent in AA in 2023, 245, 340, 441 with 18 homers, but he had a really strong second half in which he had an 847 OPS and 10 homers across 183 plate appearances. You know, the contact skills are actually probably, you know, better than the batting average suggests. 77% overall clip is fine, and it'll play. And just a 23% strikeout rate as well. So Bracho may be one to watch out for. High fly ball, maybe if he can get that launch angle down a little bit to more line drives, it'll play up. Also, Ethan Hankins, hampered much of his career by injuries, former first rounder in 2018, but injuries have really limited his career, sadly. 110 career innings since 2018, 46 of those came in 2023. 15 starts this year, 4.70 ERA, 26 walks and 50 strikeouts. Fastball velocity was back up, and he did increase throughout the year. He showed a strong curve, but really the biggest thing for Hankins will just be health. Can Ethan Hankins stay healthy enough? We shall see. A couple of quick hits to get out here. Nate Furman, really fun contact first, second base type profile. Tanner Burns, a fun arm. He could take a step forward this year. Jacob Zeeven was a overslot guy in 2022 that I thought would take a step forward. But health will be the issue for Zeeven. He's got to get healthy and on the mound. Petey Halpin is an underrated outfielder. Justin Campbell, right-handed pitcher out of Oklahoma State. Deion Frias, infielder that I like a lot. Doug Nikhazy, lefty. Yerlin Luis, outfielder. Jose Tania, shortstop. Joe Lampe, outfielder. Jose Marcano, shortstop. And Ryan Webb, a left-handed arm. A couple of just players that I like that you should probably keep an eye on. But this has been the Cleveland Guardian system. A lot of fun, a lot of depth, a lot of names to invest in. And then obviously the big guys at the top. But this has been another edition of the Dynasty Dugout Show. Hope to see you again tomorrow. But until then, hope you take care.
People in their 50s are taking action now to ensure they enjoy high-quality vision for the rest of their lives. They're even avoiding the slow deterioration of vision caused by cataracts. What are they doing? Having a refractive lens exchange. Hi, I'm Dr. Litzinger for Revision LASIK and Cataract Surgery. Let's talk about the details of this safe procedure that empowers you to be proactive and enjoy the freedom of clear vision.
Learn more at revisioneyes.com. That's revisioneyes.com.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.